Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor left, brings you Night Editor. Once again, the presses roll to bring us Hal Burdick and another original short story from the newsroom. Tonight, one that opens the secret places of a woman's heart. The Night Editor story titled, Reflection.
As she stood in the entryway waiting, she caught sight of herself in the mirror. She mustn't look like that. Everything she was feeling in this final moment of heartbreak was there in her face. The pain, the wistful longing for him, the utter emptiness in her heart. She must let him see only gladness for him and the girl he loved. She must find the courage to smile.
Friends, when you really come right down to it, the one thing that gives you real coffee satisfaction is flavor. And that's why so many folks who love good coffee are turning to Edwards Coffee, to its extra flavor lift. You see, Edwards is a rich, delicious, full-flavored coffee because the Edwards people blend and roast every single pound with that idea in mind. Yes, Edwards Coffee is specially blended and roasted according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula to give you an extra flavor lift. Blended, roasted, ground, and packed the careful, custom way. Your guarantee of true flavor enjoyment. Try a pound of Edwards Coffee, won't you? Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, the food editor's kitchen down the hall from the busy newsroom is a favorite rendezvous for Hal and Bobby when they haven't time to leave the building for a cup of coffee between editions. And that's where we find them now, sitting on the opposite sides of a small work table. And Bobby is saying...
More coffee, Hal?
A half cup, please. You must have something on your mind, boss. You've been awful quiet since we left the newsroom.
Yeah. I've been thinking about a great human interest yarn I heard at dinner tonight, Bobby.
Hey, if you've got a good feature story, how about letting one of the boys write it? We can use one in tonight's paper.
No, this isn't a story for the paper, Bob. It's one that will pretty much stay locked up in a girl's heart. Though she did tell it to me, because I'm sort of an unofficial uncle to her.
Which means I'll never get to hear it, I suppose?
Well, I could tell it to you, son, because you don't know the girl or any of the principals. Story that came to its climax only yesterday. One that was told to me something like this. They had been standing there at the deck rail for a long time without speaking. The tall young sergeant and the girl in the uniform of the Army Nurses Corps. Looking out across the moonlit calmness of the sea through which the transport throbbed on the last night of its voyage toward journey's end and home. From other parts of the deck, voices and laughter and snatches of songs drifted toward them through the windless night. Sharp little sounds broken from the brittle ecstasy of these last hours of the homecoming. But these two stood apart, silent, their thoughts going back along the glowing wake of the ship that seemed to spin ever thinner and thinner the cord of remembrance that bound them to distant yesterdays. She felt the light touch of his shoulder against hers as they leaned on the rail, and a tremulous warmth stole over her. She spoke softly. Penny for your thoughts, Wayne.
I'm afraid they're too scrambled to make sense, Ione.
Scrambled?
Keep jumping from one thing to another. Been that way ever since we left the Philippines.
Yeah, one minute I'm going back over everything that's happened. You know, Bataan, prison camp, final escape. Those months when the little group of us was hiding out in the jungle, not knowing what the finish would be. Then I'm thinking of tomorrow, back home, discharged, out of uniform, wondering what happens then.
I know. My thoughts are like that, too. She couldn't tell him what else she was thinking, her foolish dream that perhaps she might have some place in his tomorrows.
There's some parts of it we'll forget, I suppose, he was going on. But one thing I'll always remember, be eternally grateful for. What you did for me during those weeks I had the fever in our hideout camp. How you kept me alive. She was thinking, will you ever know all that went into those days and nights? That it was more than a nurse's medical skill and patience and determination? That some part of my heart was compounded in the treatment that kept you alive? But she answered, was no more than any nurse would have done. She didn't dare look at him. Even in the darkness, he might read what was in her eyes as the question she had choked back so many times forced its way to her lips. Here, on this last night of the homecoming, truth was ordering dreams to stand aside. I suppose there'll be someone waiting to greet you when we dock tomorrow?
No. No, not at the dock.
Oh? That will come later?
Yeah.
He lighted a cigarette, and in the cupped glow of the match, his face was expressionless. Then, it's funny, all the time we've known one another, we've never talked about this. Too many other things to worry us, I guess. Bare processes of keeping alive. There is a girl I own, but I won't be seeing her until I'm out of uniform.
Oh?
That's a crazy philosophy of mine. You see, we met after I was in the Army. She's never seen me out of uniform. We weren't engaged, but we were fond of one another. It was love, as far as I was concerned. But maybe things are going to be different when I wrap the uniform in mothballs and go back to being a civilian. Maybe in her eyes, the man she knew will be wrapped up and put on the closet shelf. I may not look the same to her. Glamour will be gone. Oh, but if she really loves you... She couldn't go on. She had the answer she'd wanted all these months. What was left to be said? How about you, Ione? Someone waiting for you?
No. No one.
I'd like to see you and tell you how it all came out.
Oh, of course, I'll be curious to know.
Well, when you're settled, leave your address at the discharge center. We might all get together and celebrate if things work out right.
And if they don't?
The burning end of his cigarette arced into the darkness, like the last spark of her foolish dream. I'll be getting as far away from everything I've ever known as I can. The excitement of her return, of leaving the service, getting her things out of storage and settling down in a little apartment, made those first days bearable. But quickly she knew that unbearable loneliness was to be her companion, the loneliness of waiting for that final word. After 3 weeks, she made her decision. There was no need to endure the torture longer. He had said, I'll get as far away from everything I've ever known as I can, and that was good advice for her, too. Put her things back in storage, get a place with some hospital unit in the Orient, Africa, war-torn Europe, any place where she might find forgetfulness in work. Almost fiercely, she began making her plans, finding comfort in resignation. And then the call came, his voice on the wire, a moment of surging joy that swept her toward despair as he said, I'd like to see you for a few minutes, Ione, and maybe I'll bring her with me. Is that all right? She answered,
oh, of course.
Wondering as she spoke the words how she'd ever go through with it, seeing him with the other girl beside him, the girl she had hoped to be. As she stood in the entry hall waiting, she caught sight of herself in the mirror. She mustn't look like that. Everything she was feeling in this final moment of heartbreak was there in her face. She must let them see only her gladness for them. She must find the courage to smile. At last the bell. She opened the door and he was standing there. Wayne. Hello, Ione. Oh, golly, it's good to see you. And good to see you. But you're alone. I thought you said... Yeah, I came on ahead. I wanted to see you alone for a minute. In the living room, he took her two hands in his, and she wondered that he wasn't aware of their coldness. They talked excitedly, until at last he broke in with, Al, tell me, what do you think of the ex-sergeant in Mufti?
Oh, it's marvelous, Wayne. If possible, it becomes you better than the uniform.
Doesn't she think so? His smile lighted the room.
Mm-hmm. I believe she does.
Anyway, seems to be all right with her.
Oh, I'm so glad for you, Wayne. And... the wedding?
Well, we haven't set a date for it. We sort of wanted to talk that over with you. You've got to be there, you know.
I'm afraid I won't be able to, Wayne. I'm taking a place with a foreign hospital unit. I'm leaving very soon, and...
Oh, no, Ione. You've got to be there. We wouldn't have it any other way. Why, I wouldn't be there myself if it hadn't been for you.
She wondered how much more of this she could stand. Yet the cruelest part was still to come. She reached blindly toward an idea that came to her out of the pain that was racking her body. I have a wedding present I'd like to give the two of you, Wayne. If you think she'd like it.
Oh, she'd like anything you picked out.
Come, I'll show it to you while we're waiting for her.
There was some relief in just getting up and physical movement as she led the way back into the entry hall.
It's that mirror on the wall. Belonged to my mother. It's very old and...
Well, there's always a place for a mirror in a home.
Oh, that's a beauty, Ione.
And we'll love it especially because it once belonged to you.
Yeah, we can always feel that you're close to us, part of our lives.
Because you've looked in it, and the remembrance of your reflection is still there.
Wayne, please,
The words were torn from her throat. She fought for control, saying, "Hadn't you better go get her?"
Yes. I think I hear her coming now.
He stepped toward the door. You let her in, Wayne. I'll be taking the mirror down from the wall and into the front room where she can see it better. Her hands reached up to the sides of the glass. For a moment, she closed her eyes against the swimming darkness that was pulling her under. What had she ever done to deserve this punishment? How much longer must she endure it? Why couldn't it be over with quickly and let her go back to the aching loneliness that was to be hers forever?
The entry hall was very still.
Open the door, Wayne. Let her in.
Eyes still closed, she heard the whisper of movement behind her. The softness of footsteps. The throbbing agony of waiting. Then... No, Ion. You open your eyes and let her in. The raising lids lifted her from darkness to light. In the mirror, she saw first the blurred reflection of his face bending close to hers, his arms raising to enfold her. Then her own white face, stark with fear, and now colored by the swift rush of realization.
Oh, Wayne. Wayne, you mean...
But the lips that moved close to hers were saying, "It had to be this way, Ion. I wanted you to be sure. Now, let's go back in the living room and talk some more about your staying over for our wedding."
Friends, I think you'll agree that just to linger over a cup of good coffee, to enjoy it leisurely is, well, it's a real pleasure. I mention that because Edward's coffee is blended and roasted in somewhat the same unhurried way, the careful, custom way, according to the time-honored Edward's formula. The choice Latin American coffee beans used in the exclusive Edward's blend are actually selected for size, shape, and color, blended in small batches, not by weight, but by flavor. Every pound is roasted with painstaking care to develop all the full, rich, natural flavor, then immediately ground and vacuum-packed to capture all the freshness. Yes, Edward's coffee is a product of skill and patience, of the knowledge of fine coffee-making gained over many, many years. Try a pound. Enjoy its extra flavor lift. If you don't agree then that Edward's is exceptional coffee, your money refunded. Edward's coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. And now, a word from Hal about next week's Night Editor story.
Well, after tonight's love story, we're going in for something a little more dramatic. The story of the day Lieutenant Pat Cameron retired from the police force, and the present that Manny Griffin sent him in hated remembrance of the years Manny spent in the big house. A present that spelled death for many people. It's titled Smoke Ring, and you're all invited to be with us in the newsroom next week when I tell it. Good night.
Be sure to join us again next week at this same time when the Roar of the Presses brings us another original short story written and told by Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edward's Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.